a little bit later in the hour. We begin with our top story, stocks pulling back from a record ahead of this week's inflation data. Jim Bianco of Bianco Research saying there's a disconnect in a market at all-time highs, still looking for rate cuts. What is it going to take to get a rate cut? Simply, bad economic data and weak inflation data. And what is the definition of bad data? Stocks react negatively. Instead, we have stocks flying on Nvidia saving the world and the opposite of bad data. Jim Bianco, I'm pleased to say, joins us now. Now, Jim, some people might say that maybe this market is just less sensitive to this bond market because Nvidia is producing real numbers, real results, and it makes up a bigger and larger chunk of this equity market. Are you looking for a reality check further down the road?
Yeah, I think ultimately a reality check will come. I mean, you could have two things be true at the same time. NVIDIA is producing, and it is concentrating the stock market, and it is bringing it higher. But at the other side of the equation, the economy is not breaking, and the economy is moving forward. And I would argue to you that the inflation rate is bottoming right now somewhere, let's use year-over-year CPI, at around 3%, and that it won't really go much lower for the next several months. And then eventually, the stock market's going to have to realize that the competition of higher rates is going to be a reality. Right now, it's being told by everybody, oh, don't worry whether or not there's going to be a cut in March. There's cuts coming. There's lower rates coming. The competition that you have to deal with, and I'm speaking specifically when you get away from the Mag 7, the competition that you're dealing with of higher interest rates will go away sometime this year. So it's all okay. But I think sometime this year, the reality is going to be that that's going to be very difficult to see those rates come down if the economy stays strong and inflation stays sticky.
Jim, almost exactly 12 months ago, the narrative shifted from soft landing to no landing at all. And then the following month, we had this stress in regional banks. Now, it feels like a repeat of that conversation, Jim. Data's really good. People start to talk about no landing. They move away from soft landing. At some point, yields go high enough that it starts to cause some pain, and then people start buying bonds again. Jim, where do you see those pockets of stress emerging? What are you sort of hyper-focused on right now?
Yeah, I think you're right that the old adage on Wall Street is, you know, rates go up until something breaks. And I would actually argue that, at least on the rate side, we really haven't broken enough yet to do the damage that everybody thinks. So where does that come in? Let's go back to the October highs for a start, you know, 5% in the 10-year note. We were able to weather that. We were able to weather, you know, that holding 5.5 on the funds rate now since July without really breaking anything. What really got the rally going was the Fed chairman back in October, November, and the Treasury, by shifting its mix of bills and bond issuance, kicked off the rally. And that rally changed, at least in the last, I think, month or so, especially with Chairman Powell's saying that he was in no hurry to cut rates and then going on 60 Minutes to emphasize that he was not ready to cut rates. So I think that rates have a ways to go up before they start to get to that it's hurting spot. And I don't even think it's really hurting housing. The thing I'm focused on with housing is, when do higher rates start to bring prices down? Yeah, they've brought sales down. And yeah, I've heard a lot of mortgage brokers and real estate agents complaining about low sales numbers, but home prices aren't coming down, which means the economy or people that own homes are not stressed. They're not being forced to sell.
So, Jim, what are you saying, that the Fed has to hike rates in order to break something, or that keeping rates at 5.5% is enough to kind of cause some discomfort in the underlying economy?
Lost the connection with Jim Bianco there. Jim Bianco of Bianco Research. Didn't fall asleep as Lisa was asking that question. The crease froze.
I thought we're like, it wasn't that bad of a question.
We're trying
I
mean, to re-establish maybe, that know. Connection a little bit later. I think you asked the right question.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Lindsay Pieta was flirting with the idea over at Stifel a little bit earlier this morning that maybe they need to go again. That are we truly sufficiently restrictive when you've got unemployment south of 4% for 24 months and jobless claims at 201?
When the Fed's own measure of financial conditions is incredibly loose, when they take into effect just how interest rate sensitive people with 3% mortgages that aren't going to leave, how much that really does create interest rate sensitivity in the economy. You know, this really is the question. Are we sufficiently restrictive if you see kind of expansion in certain sectors.
There's two ways of looking at this. There are always multiple ways of looking at the same thing. It's called a market. At the end of the day, he thinks this is a rational exuberance. At some point, the market has to start paying attention again to what is developing in the bond market, which is a 50 basis point repricing at the front end of the curve. Dave Pilosky at TPW, way more constructive on the stock market because he believes we've seen a handoff from a Fed-driven market to one driven by earnings. And on the S&P 500, the bulk of it is tech, and tech is still delivering and printing money.
When do earnings fall off as a result of restrictive policy? And I actually am curious. I think we've got Jim reestablished.
I think he's back. He didn't fall asleep.
No,
he's back with us.
But that's what I was asking. No. You're back. And I'm wondering, is that sort of what you're thinking, that we have to stay at 5%, say, on the 10-year yield for a prolonged period of time for things to break? Is it somewhat higher? Does the Fed have to hike rates again?
No, I don't think that we're right yet to point that they have to hike rates. I was kind of in the zero to two cut camp at the beginning of the year, and I'm more closer to the zero camp, no cuts, for right now. I think that higher for longer is good enough. Are we going to flip over, like Larry Summers has been talking about, the possibility that we might have to see more rate hikes this year? I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but I would say that the probability is less than 50% right now. But, you know, I think the real thing that we have to keep in mind is these rates, these level of rates aren't hurting much. They're really not, you know, they're not dragging the economy. They're not dragging earnings. And you could argue, if you look at inflation, that inflation is not really in a last mile mode on its way to 2%. I think it's really almost done, at least on a year-over-year basis, going down, and that is not what the Fed is looking for right now. They're looking for 2% inflation, and they're looking for signs that the economy is unmistakably weak before they react by cutting rates. And they're just not getting that right now.
Jim, I want to give it credit where it's due. You made this call coming into the new year. I want to be very clear with our audience about that. It's not like you're looking at the recent data and saying inflation is bottoming out, not topping. This is something we're looking for at the start of the end of the year, coming into the start of this year. Jim, can you tell me then, if you think we're finding a floor for inflation, where do you think it's going to level out? And ultimately, do you think it can climb from here into year end?
I think it's leveling out right here. Let me use year-over-year CPI headline. It's somewhere around 3%. Maybe it hits 2.9, 2.8. I understand we're at 3.1, and that doesn't give me a whole lot more room. The base effect, meaning that the numbers after February's number get very, very low. You drop 1/10 and 2/10 from a year ago, and all you need is a 1/10 or 2/10 to keep it at near 3%. Gasoline prices have moved up so that while the February number that we dropped from a year ago was large, we've got higher gasoline prices to push it up as well. And I've been one that has been arguing that on the shelter or the housing aspects of inflation, that those numbers are going to stay sticky. They're not going to come down as fast as everybody thinks. We saw that in January when owner's equivalent rent jumped to 6/10. You add all this up and you're looking at potentially being in the high twos, probably three in the low threes, all the way through the end of the summer with inflation. And if that's really what's going to happen, I can't see the Fed declaring victory in that spot point and cutting rates. Now, they maybe won't hike them, but a market that was pricing in 7 rate cuts a little over a month ago might be looking at like none to one before the end of the year, and that will come as a big surprise to it as it starts to understand it.
We've priced out about 4 of them without a splash. That's what's amazing, Jim. You've run from one side of the boat to the other without a splash. High yield spreads have got tighter, not wider, and credit spreads are even tighter now than they were a week or so ago. Lisa, it's amazing.
It's this idea that either the strength continues that supports risk, or the Fed will step in. I think the difference that Jim is talking about is maybe they're not going to step in nearly as quickly as people think.
Jim, great to catch up, buddy. Jim Bianco there of Bianco Research. Did you notice Jim's strategy to deal with a tough question from Bramo? Shut your eyes.
Shut your eyes and hope for the best.
Freeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Just pretend the line's gone down. Do you remember that guy? Do you remember that clip of that guy that was asked, what does that company do? And he just went silent and pretended there was a technical connection. It was a problem.
That's amazing. That was actually really popular during the pandemic. There were all these videos.
Just pretend the line went down.
Where they would pretend that they kind of froze so the teacher wouldn't call on them, and then there would be like a cat
walking
in the background.
Oh, that's what they're doing with school?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
For remote learning.
I love that.
Lots of creativity.
I love that. Jim, thank you, buddy. Equity futures on the S&P 500.